We are back. Football is back. I'm Ryan Curley.
I'm Jackson Strickland.
The Few is back.
This is season two. Welcome, everybody. We know it's been a very long hiatus. Obviously, we've had some a little bit happen in the world in the past, 7 months probably since our last recording. So we're just glad y'all are here with us today for this very odd 2020 season that we can kind of dive straight into. So.
Yeah, and this is a late startup for us. Obviously, college football has already begun in some capacity with the ACC games, the Big 12 games, and then some of the Group of Five teams have been playing the last couple weeks. The SEC, if you're listening to this the day we publish it, thank you. You're a loyal follower. The SEC starts tomorrow. We are recording this on Friday the 25th, September 25th.
No, so. No procrastination on our part. No. This was planned for the last 7 months to happen on this day, just like this. So,
yeah, the content will come out more consistently from now on. We just need to get started. Busy schedule for us. With school, it's been chaotic and different, obviously. So, yeah, football is back. I'm giddy, man.
I'm giddy
because football hasn't been good to watch the last couple weeks, college at least. And the SEC's back. Hopefully that'll bring a little bit more of a competitive side to the sport.
A little bit more excitement personally with us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just being SEC fans, Georgia fans, even getting to go to a game next weekend. You wanna tell them a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So the way UGA worked is I imagine a lot of schools did something like this, but we had to apply for tickets. You know, you put down whatever, how many of your games you want, but we knew that we were only going to get like one or two, if any. So, you know, we get an email a week ago, and it just tells you which game you got or that you didn't get any.
Yeah.
And so we both got Auburn. So we will be in attendance at Auburn, knock on wood.
Yeah.
That the game will happen because we know that anything can happen right now. Notre Dame, Wake Forest was scheduled for this weekend. That's going to get postponed, if not just canceled outright. So, knock on wood. I know that Auburn, I saw a week or two ago that 9 Auburn players had COVID. So.
Yeah, I mean, we know that throughout the SEC, even though they haven't started yet, there have been multiple positive cases in the last couple months since they returned to campus, I think early to mid-July. Maybe even into June a little bit, but I mean, obviously all we can do is pray and hope for the best. We know that there's been plenty of games canceled and postponed already. UNC had one against Charlotte last weekend. It didn't happen. The big one I really wanted to see was Houston at Baylor. That was one of the games of the week that we tweeted out. Little self-promo. If y'all don't follow the Instagram or the Twitter, I don't know how you got a hold of us right here. But go ahead and follow the Instagram, the Twitter. It's The Few Podcast, football every week. But Houston at Baylor was one of the ones I tweeted out about, saying this was one of the most exciting games I was looking forward to. I just felt like it was neither one are ranked, but they both seem like they'd be ranked pretty similarly, and it would have been a pretty fair game. And obviously that didn't happen. It wasn't until Thursday or Friday, actually, that was canceled, or maybe into Saturday morning. That the news really broke. And then BYU Army was a rank v rank matchup, 21-22 on this poll we're looking at here, and that one was just postponed as well. So multiple games that, you know, will be on the schedule and will be hyped up and look forward to, and then it's just not going to work out how we expect. So here's to hoping that no UGA games get canceled this season, and we'll be able to watch as much SEC football as possible.
Yeah, I definitely want to consume as much as possible while we have it. I'll be watching every single game I can tomorrow. It's tough. You know, we didn't bring you guys any content over quarantine, so however months it's been. March 3rd was our last episode published with the Emeka Egbuka interview. Go listen to that if you're curious. So it's been a long time. You know, we took our break. It didn't make much sense for us to produce over the summer and everything. In the future, we probably will.
I'm going to be honest. 2 months ago, I didn't think we were having football.
Yeah, that was part of the issue. Are we really going to start this back? We don't even know what's going on.
If there's no football, do we even bother talking about, there's barely been any recruiting in the offseason. We didn't have spring games.
Recruiting's in a dead spot right now until January 1st.
We didn't have any spring games to talk about, UGA quarterback situation was something I was like really looking forward to watching, was Jamie Newman. And now we'll never see Jamie Newman in red and black.
No.
You know, it's just like a really weird year. And it's like, I respect his decision, but at the same time, it's like, this man came all the way down here and practiced with us for 7 or 8 months and then said, never mind. So, all the best in the NFL.
Opting out because of COVID, I think it was a combination of things, but I guess that's one of his reasons. We can get into that a little bit more later when we talk about the SEC games on slate for tomorrow. But there's been a couple weeks of football. There's been stuff that we've expected to happen, stuff maybe we didn't expect to happen. Trevor Lawrence, if you just watch him, like, his numbers aren't crazy, but if you just watch the game, looks really good, looks pro ready. He looks better. He looks more poised than he did before.
He looks better, at least in the beginning of last season. I remember we were just talking about how we kind of gave him crap last year because he
came out slow.
Well, like 3 turnovers in the first half versus Georgia Tech
in
the opener or something like that. And it was like, you know, maybe it was like the receiver's fault on one or two of them, but it didn't look like the Trevor Lawrence that was so hyped up as, you know, at the end of his freshman year, where it's like, man, this guy can go to the NFL today if he wanted to, if it was allowed. And now he's back to pro-ready Trevor Lawrence, and obviously he's been extremely hyped up in the news the past couple months with how much of an advocate he's been for players' rights and for player safety and everything. And so it's great to see that not only is he advanced on all of those fronts, but just on him as an athlete as well. And I don't remember who it was, but I think it was someone on ESPN that said he needs this season less than anyone else. Like, he can completely sit out the season and be a top 3 or 4 pick, and instead he's advocating it harder, like for it harder than anyone else, or at least more vocally and nationally known than anyone else. And that's just like, that speaks power, you know? It just makes him seem like he's a team player and he's ready to lead a locker room and lead a team. I don't know if anyone at Clemson has sat out this year. I don't think they had anyone sit out.
Nobody notable.
Yeah, nobody notable, because they want to play with him, and that's what they've all said. Yeah.
And you're right. He probably needs this season less than anybody. There's only, in my opinion, there's only 10 or 12 players anyway who didn't really need this season.
Right.
And he was one of them, and he was at the top of that list. You're right. He's going to be a top draft pick. He will be the number one pick unless the Bengals are picking, in my opinion, because they just took Joe Burrow.
Right, of course.
But the rest of the teams at the top are most likely going to take him if they end up at the top. So he knows he's going to end up in the top 2 or 3 picks. He doesn't have to risk his body, you know, risk losing his future in football, or risk getting sick if that's a concern he has. So, yeah, it is nice. And all the social justice, all the or injustices, you know, he's fighting for that and against that. So he's shown that he's a true leader, and that's probably why Clemson doesn't have any notable players who have opted out.
Right. He reminds me a lot of, like, it really looks like, you can tell that Dabo Swinney is his coach. You know, from what everyone, like, praises Dabo Swinney for, and how much of a leader he is, how much fun he is, and how serious he can be when he needs to be, Trevor Lawrence fits that. And it just makes sense that he's there, and that they're, you know, a great little coach and quarterback duo, and just obviously the things they've already done. But as far as some other players throughout the nation that have impressed us, at least through the first 3 weeks, who do you think most for you so far?
Who's impressed me the most? Derek King. I was not very high on Derek King. When he went to Miami, there was all this hype about him. Like, oh, Derek King to Miami. And I was like, eh. But he's put up good numbers. It's against ACC competition. I don't think he could sustain that production all year. He's obviously in the Heisman conversation for now. I don't think he'll end up the winner. He could end up a finalist just because of his stats. But I think Miami's success is going to have a lot to do with that too. But yeah, his numbers have impressed me a little bit more than I thought they would, for sure.
Well, we got 2 weeks until he faces off against the Clemson Tigers in Death Valley. So that will be his true test, I believe. Until then, I mean, Miami can climb the leaderboard a little bit, climb the pole a little bit, I mean, and he can put up good numbers. But when he hits that Clemson defense, that's going to be his make or break, I believe.
But, you know, and when he goes to Clemson, that's a really good defense.
Right.
You might not know a lot of names on that defense because over the last 2 or 3 years, a lot of the players have either graduated or been drafted. But that's a very talented defense. The defensive line is good. They may be not the best defensive line they've ever had because they probably already had that a couple of years ago. But it's very good. And what's his name? Brian Breesy. He was the number one prospect. He looked good. I watched the game. He looked pretty. He looked like he was ready to go to the NFL physically. You know, the secondary is better. They replenished the secondary, so it'll be interesting to watch that. I know they lost AJ Terrell. They lost Isaiah Simmons. No, they probably don't have an Isaiah Simmons, but it's a good defense. I think they could be a little bit better than last year defensively, especially if they're not playing any out-of-conference games like at Texas A&M or anything like that, like last year.
Right. I mean, I think that definitely does help as far as at least their numbers look. Now, when you actually watch the games and watch the competition they're going against, it might be a little bit more true to tell. But as far as numbers, I mean, Clemson already puts up as many points as they want every week. And now going against, you know, no South Carolina, which I don't think has really been a competition the past 5 or 6 years because Clemson's got a great streak on them. But no Texas A&M. They do have to play Notre Dame, which I'm excited about. I think that was the great... And they were going to play Notre Dame anyways this season. But I think it was a really great addition for Notre Dame to join the ACC. It made the most sense for everyone involved. You know, it encouraged the ACC to keep playing. And it was the only way that Notre Dame
was going to have a solid
schedule without, like, teams going, oh, well, we are going to play. Never mind, we're not going to play. So now you have to fill 6 spots.
And if the relationship with the ACC has continued in the future, then the ACC just got a little bit better.
They definitely did. And they can have a little bit more, power behind when they say, you know, we're better than the SEC or we're better than the Big Ten or Big 12 at least. Yes, they have Clemson, and Clemson's done amazing things. And then even Florida State in the past decade or two have done some great things, and Miami 20 years ago. But other than that, like, you know, you got Sam Howell. You got some great star players.
You had a Heisman winner.
Yeah, you had Lamar Jackson. Other than that, I mean, it's just like, okay. Like, you get to play Syracuse. You get to play Virginia and Virginia Tech. It's a lot of Vanderbilts, and Arkansas is in there.
There's just a consistent mediocrity with the majority of ACC teams, and, you know, I don't know the details on the relationship between Notre Dame and the ACC, if that's permanent or not, or temporary, so...
Right now it is temporary, but
yeah,
I
think
that
that's something they should look into continuing.
I think so as well.
So, yeah, just watching, I think everyone thought Oklahoma State was going to be a little bit better.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, they underperformed.
Spencer Sanders went down, so that's a tough one. I don't know. What are the details on his injury?
I'm not sure the details, but I know, like, even before he went down, Wallace was barely in the game, and then after he went down, they didn't really have the backup throwing very many passes to Wallace, and he was on the sideline when their offense is out there on the field, and it just doesn't make sense. And maybe he's got a little bit of injury as well that he's still rehabbing from. But, you know, you got to put your weapons out there and put up the effort and put up the numbers that you're supposed to as to, like, what everyone thought, you know. They were in someone's preseason playoff, I believe, like one of the ESPN reporters. I don't know if it was Herbie or Desmond Howard had Cincinnati up there. And that I don't think that will be happening, personally, especially, you know, now that the Big Ten and Pac-12 is back in. Cincinnati will not make the playoff. If any of you needed to hear that, here you go. Oklahoma State also not making the playoff. Oklahoma maybe. Texas maybe, but
I'm not committing to saying Texas is going to the playoff.
I don't think they're back, but Sam Ellinger put up some numbers, you know?
But Sam Ellinger always puts up some numbers. I mean, you're not gonna win a You're not going to get to the playoff. Sam Ellinger is a good college quarterback. That's what he is. He's a good college quarterback. I don't see him having a future at the next level.
You don't think 25 of 33 for 426? Yes, it's against UTEP.
Against UTEP.
But 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions? Like,
against UTEP, there is a lot of quarterbacks that are not that great that could put up similar numbers against UTEP. I mean, come on. I don't think Texas is going to make the playoff.
I don't think they'll make the playoff. I think they'll finish top 10, unless maybe even more, unless they really just choke or have a bad injury, you know, somewhere on the team.
I mean, Oklahoma, Rattler's good. If you haven't seen Rattler, he was the number one prospect for a reason. I don't think he's as good as the past couple quarterbacks, but he's up there, and he's going to put up the numbers.
Those names that Oklahoma's had, you know, he's the fourth different starter in the last 4 years. Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield. Those are some household names that most people know and that are playing on Sundays now. And, you know, it's exciting to see just another quarterback come in the mix. And it's not like, you know, Sam Ellinger, who I feel like we've talked about for years and years because he decided to stay for senior season. Ian Book as well is one of those names that I just think has been around for way too – it's like a what was his name?
Hunter Renfro.
I forget that name. It's like Hunter Renfro and Hot Rod at Georgia. You know, I love Hot Rod and all, but it definitely felt like he was here for a decade. Those two names, Ellinger and Ian Book, I feel like have been there forever. So that's when I love teams like Oklahoma, where it's like every year it's a little bit something different, and they still put up the same numbers, and they still make it to the playoff, and they still get blown out. You know, it's just disappointing every year in the playoff for them, but...
And I don't really expect anything different from this year.
I don't either, but...
You know, they have the prospects, and if you doubt that Rattler's not going to succeed in that offense, I mean, come on.
Like, you haven't been watching.
Have you not been watching the last few years? You just plug in a talented quarterback who's coachable, and they're going to succeed and put up extreme numbers in offense. If you didn't know who Rattler was, he was the number one quarterback prospect of the 2019 class. Like, he's good. He has a cannon. He can move around. He's got an attitude. You know, like, he's got some moxie to him.
I think he's perfect for Oklahoma. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
I mean, attitude-wise, he's a Baker Mayfield compared. He's, you know, Kyler's
maybe
a little bit quieter.
Maybe not as bad.
But, you know, watch QB1 if you want to learn about him. I mean, they're going to just plug and play quarterbacks there as long as they're getting recruits, and they still are. Caleb Williams is coming next year.
Lincoln Riley just knows what he's doing. Like, that's the only way to put it.
So, I don't think there's going to be much of a drop-off, if any, with Oklahoma. Expect them to be a borderline playoff team, if not a playoff team. I mean, other things we've seen, FSU was really bad. They got beat by Georgia Tech, who got destroyed by UCF.
And guess what Florida State gets to do this weekend? They get to be on game day against Miami, against Derek King.
It should have been at an SEC school.
It should have been anything except for this. Like, this could have been... Like, Florida State-Miami is not a game day game. And I get that, like, there's a little bit less to pick from. And all the SEC games this week, in my opinion... will not be close, besides maybe one or two. But
then game day will be here next week?
I sure hope it's at Auburn at Georgia. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Next week, I thought it was going
to
be...
Auburn needs to blow Kentucky out of the water, and Georgia needs to perform exactly like they're expected.
I don't think Auburn's going to blow Kentucky out of the water.
They need to.
But
they need to. Their defense, we know they lost a ton of production and some really high draft picks this past spring. But they need to just be able to plug and play and shut down Terry Wilson, shut down Kentucky, who's coming off of a mix a little bit from last year. You know, they lost Lynn Bowden. And Auburn needs to just be able to step up and do it.
You know, why don't we just jump into the SEC game? We're keeping this episode short anyway. Why don't we just, you know, we want to talk about the SEC games. We want to preview all of them. We'll throw in some of the other games, too. But, I mean, let's just go ahead and just start getting into some predictions and everything. There's not too much to talk about right now. Obviously, there's all sorts of things we can talk about. But we don't want to... We're not just sitting here and talk about COVID and all the unprecedented times.
Bias aside, what is the game you're most looking forward to this weekend for SEC?
Bias aside, just like pure football?
Just saying not Georgia, basically, because that's not going to be an exciting game. Except for the fact that it's a new Georgia offense. But besides that, what's your pick?
Can I pick two games?
Just go for it.
Kentucky at Auburn. One, okay. Because I want to see the Kentucky offense. I want to see if Bo Nix has made a leap. And then Alabama at Mizzou for several reasons. I know that's not the most exciting game, but for several reasons I want to watch Alabama at Mizzou. I'll give you some of them.
If they don't win by 50 plus, I don't know what.
That's a stretch.
Okay, one. How much are they favored by?
21.
21. Mizzou has like at least 10 players out this weekend.
I'm gonna go into my reasonings. One, if it's a blowout, we're gonna get to see Bryce Young. Two, revenge tour.
Revenge tour. That's the only reason. No one understands how disrespected Alabama was last year. Who did they lose to?
LSU.
They lost to LSU.
Auburn.
Who everyone lost to LSU. No one was close to beating LSU.
And that's who Alabama is used to being.
Exactly.
Was what LSU was
exactly.
last year.
And then Auburn. And why did they beat Auburn? Because there were two rule discrepancies with the point, the seconds or whatever for the kick, and then whatever the
it
other
was.
It was
your typical Iron Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And then guess what? A couple months later, NCAA went back and they fixed both of those rules. So if that exact game happened this year with the exact same plays, Alabama would have won. But Alabama lost because of some rule discrepancies, and then they lost to LSU, and everyone lost to LSU. But that LSU is not here anymore. And I don't think we have to go into that a bunch. LSU will not be a top 10 team this year. If you don't believe it, you need to. You'll see it maybe not tomorrow against Mississippi State. But I don't know if they win by 17.
I was going to say that they're a borderline top 10 team until Jamar Chase opted out.
There you go. I mean,
now top 15-ish. They're going to drop a couple games. Not week one. But Miles Brennan isn't bad.
I mean, they're in the SEC West. They're going to have some competition.
Bama's they're going good. To lose Alabama.
A&M's good. Auburn's better than A&M. So there you go.
I think A&M...
A&M's silent. A&M's silent right now. They have a little bit of hype from some people and then no hype from others. So it's going to be a real toss-up to see.
Here, I'm
going to
make my... A&M is going to beat LSU this year.
I mean,
Jimbo Fisher needs a marquee win for his program.
He hasn't had one yet, has he?
No, and this could be it. For now.
He hasn't beat Alabama yet.
He did beat LSU in the 7 overtime game.
But did he really, like... I don't know. Didn't they go back and like they looked in the third overtime and like someone was down or something? Like it was, that was a weird game.
70-something points.
Basically, after third or fourth overtime, you've tied. Like no team is better than the other. It's just who's going to get lucky first, or who is the least tired after 6 or 7 overtimes. Anyways, I don't think that's a marquee win. Like you said, he's looking for that still. If he somehow beats LSU this year, they'd be close to one. If he somehow puts up a fight against Auburn, that would be the one he's looking for.
I think Auburn drops off this year. I just do.
Because
not
of their
like
defensive
significantly,
like they've lost.
Yeah. I mean, they're predicted to be, what, a top 10 team?
I think Bo Nix got a lot better from last season, from the beginning where he was like, oh, they saved the game against Oregon. Well, no, that wasn't really him. That was a receiver.
That was not a good throw.
No, it was a terrible throw. He was underthrown. But he got better throughout the season. You know, he was Bo Picks, and then he went back to just being Bo Nix. You know, I think he did well. I give him a little pat on the back for that. This season, I think, hopefully, he gets better. You know, barring any injury, barring any COVID-related stuff with his receivers and with himself. I think Auburn's a good team this year. I would like to put them in the top 10. I don't know if they'll lose to anyone except for Alabama and Georgia. And an 8-2 season this year is not bad.
Yeah.
They don't have to have big wins over... do they play Florida? I think they do play Florida at one point. That will be a great game to watch. They don't play Florida.
The Florida hype is ridiculous.
Yeah, LSU is still 6. If you haven't seen how much production LSU has lost, not only on the field, but on the sidelines.
You have to remember, part of that is the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are not in that. Oregon would have been ahead of LSU, Ohio State, Penn State, in my opinion. right. to start the season.
Which would put them at, what, 7 or, no, put them at, like, 8 or 9? I still don't see them there. It's okay. They'll drop in the next couple weeks. I'll be happy again. It'll all be good.
We'll see. They're probably going to win the first couple games. Unless I'm missing something.
Back to Florida, though. Yeah, you did yawn. I'm pretty sure they all heard that. Florida is not the 5th best team in the nation. Right now, they're number 5. Of course, that will be behind Ohio State and maybe a few others eventually. Florida's not winning the SEC East. It hasn't happened. Like, they haven't beat Kirby Smart yet. Kirby Smart's 3-0 against Dan Mullen. And it's not getting closer every year. It won't get closer this year. We have a new offense with new offensive weapons. I literally had a dream last night. I don't know why, but I woke up and remembered my dream, which I never do, and it was Georgia versus Alabama, and our 2 touchdowns in the first half, we were leading 14-7, which I don't like us leading against Alabama in the half, so it's kind of a nightmare, but our first 2 touchdowns in the first half were George Pickens and Darnell Washington, and I don't know, it just gives me a little bit of hope that we've got some new weapons this year with Dwan Mathis coming in. It was Dwan Mathis that threw both of those, by the way.
Dwan keeps the job for at least 3 weeks.
Dwan keeps the job for at least 3 weeks. But also in this dream, that was a playoff semifinal game. So I can't really explain the dream. It's a dream. It's kind of weird. But if we end up playing against Alabama in the playoff, in the first round of the playoff, I'm just going to freak out and be like, okay, well, go back and listen to season 2, episode 1 of The Few, and I'll tell you what the score is going to be at halftime. It's going to be 14-7. Anyways, as I was saying, Georgia's going to beat Florida again. Florida can put up a really great fight this year. I think it might be the closest game of the last 4 years. Like I said, barring COVID, barring any injuries, Georgia wins. I see you're looking up some other unprecedented hype. Not unprecedented, but new hype this year in Tennessee.
I'm just looking at depth charts.
You're just looking at depth charts. It's just Tennessee that's...
I'm just looking at depth
charts. Already at number 16.
I think Tennessee will definitely be better this year.
Oh, they have to be better. It's hard to be worse, you know?
We'll just run down some games. Let's do some quick rundowns. We'll get into analysis later in the year. Let's let a week or two go by. FSU at Miami. Are you going to take the minus 11?
Yeah. Yeah. Miami covers.
I take that all day. I say 3 or 4 touchdowns.
What else you got for us?
Let's see. How many are worth talking about? Louisville. Duke at Virginia. UVA minus 5.5.
No, I say Duke covers that.
Okay.
Chase Bryce is
looking. Do they win or just covers?
I don't know. I think they have a chance at winning. I like Virginia, but I also like Chase Bryce.
I don't like either of them.
I think that Chase Bryce transferring looks just about as good as Kelly Bryant last year when he transferred, which wasn't great, but it's enough with that competition to get the job done and leaves a lot of room for improvement. Duke doesn't have a ton of weapons, obviously.
I'm gonna take Duke to win by a field goal. Does Tech bounce back at Syracuse next week? The line is 8.
I don't know. I had Tech putting up a heck of a fight last week, and that just simply did not happen. 49-21, I believe, is the final. Maybe 49-24, but it was over double. And sad to say that on multiple polls on Instagram where they put up, you know, the quick, like, who's going to win? I clicked on Tech, you know? I'll go ahead and put it out there. I'm not a Tech fan. I'm a big Georgia fan, but I'm going to be honest, are we Gen X? Is that our generation?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, technically. Gen X, people will not say that Georgia's biggest rival is Tech. You know, it's going to be Auburn or Florida, but we don't care about Tech. They haven't beat us in Atlanta in 20-something years. It just doesn't happen. I don't care about Tech.
I had 100% confidence that Tech was going to lose that game. I don't know where that was coming from you.
Their new offense looks better than it did last year.
Puts up like 400 yards a game.
I know. Okay, I take it back.
add the Heisman conversation.
Gabriel in there.
Yeah, throw him in.
I realize my mistakes. Okay, I repent. Louisville, and that's why I'm not even picking them this week. I think Syracuse could probably beat that.
Okay, I think that give me Tech by 3, they don't cover. I think Louisville is going to win this game outright at Pitt. The spread is Pitt minus 3. It's in Pittsburgh. I like the quarterback.
One thing that doesn't matter to me as much is home field anymore.
No.
Besides the only thing is a couple games. The travel aspect, sure. Especially for younger teams that haven't traveled near as much. But, you know, obviously it's not going to be any environment like Notre Dame at Georgia. Notre Dame at Georgia, if it was at noon, it was in Notre Dame, and was 80% Notre Dame fans last year, they might have won that game. But, you know, just the environment that caused or whatever, and I'm just saying that because, one, we were there, and two, it was like a year ago last week, and so, like, all the memories were coming back, and on Snapchat, and also, like, I saw some on Twitter and ESPN and stuff like that where it was like, this was one of the best sports environments I've ever seen in my life and witnessed in person from adults, not just from us as, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids, but from adults that have been to dozens and dozens of games.
Oh, dude, it was like the best night of my life.
Yeah, I know. And it was insane. And
I think I peaked.
There's not going to be any environment like that this year, unfortunately. And I hate to say that, but it won't be able to happen with, you know, 20 to 30% capacity and the social distancing aspect. So, all that to say, you said it was at Pitt. I don't see the at anymore. I think a lot of it's just going to be versus, you know.
Depends on the stadium.
Of course, I don't know anything about those two teams. They can tie 0-0 for me, and I'll tweet it out that it's an odd game, but I'm not gonna be watching that. I'll go ahead and tell you that.
Let's run through. I'm going to go in the order I want to on the SEC games. Big 12, I don't see anything exciting this week.
I mean, Oklahoma's going to put up...
Expect every single favorite team to win in the Big 12 this week. Oh, look at what we got. Oh, that's next week. Never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah, look right
I here. I was excited about that.
Here you go. Tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, we have Middle Tennessee at UTSA. No one will be watching. Tickets as low as $23.
Did you see the ticket price for the Auburn game?
Yeah, Kentucky Auburn. Tickets as low as $1,111.
That's a typo. Come on. All right, let's run through. Iowa State I'd like Iowa State there.
Are we not going through all the SEC? No. You're going your own order?
No, I was talking about non-SEC real quick.
Go for it.
I think Cincinnati is going to beat Army.
Iowa State lost to Louisiana the other day.
TCU's worse? TCU's not as good.
Give me TCU Iowa has State. Zach Evans, and on the depth chart, he's listed at number 5.
Yep. Give me Iowa State.
Zach Evans.
I don't want to talk about Zach Evans.
He still has his blocked on Instagram. We don't know what to do about that.
Nothing.
It's okay.
It looks like we're talking about the SEC for the next... So and so minutes.
Army at Cincinnati.
I said Cincinnati.
Okay. I don't know. I'll take that as a close game. I don't know the spread on it. I guess we
give me Cincinnati, right, man. Desmond Ridder.
Spread's 13. They don't cover.
Give me but Desmond Cincinnati Ridder, still man. Wins. He's pretty good. I like their quarterback. All right. Worst to best. Let's see.
Well, worst of us is going to be like Alabama, Mizzou, Georgia, Arkansas.
Okay. Alabama's covering 21. They win by 30, at least.
They win by 45 to 50.
Okay. Georgia covers, in my opinion, but the offense will struggle early.
That's what I think. I think that it's going to be a little bit slower game than a lot of people want.
The assumption is Dewan Mathis. There has been no news that JT Daniels is medically cleared. Even if he is, we don't know if that means he'd start.
Yo, Dewan Mathis is playing, like, the whole game, unless Carson Beck comes in. JT doesn't play. I'm putting that out there. JT doesn't play tomorrow.
Why'd you whisper it?
Because it's not official.
Secret.
It's not official. They have to keep it on.
Listen, Dewan Mathis is good. I'm very excited. This is the first time I'll see him play.
Yeah.
Have you? I mean, what, 2019 G-Day?
Yeah, we wanted to watch him at this G-Day.
I had media credentials to this G-Day.
Flex.
Everything got canceled.
Anyways, the other one is A&M versus Vandy, another blowout game.
Give me A&M to cover that spread, man.
Yeah.
No, 29.
I don't like that. Why did you just do that voice? Yeah, A&M covers easy.
Yeah, I'll give it to them.
I don't know how great they're going to be this year. I don't know if they're going to live up to everyone's standards. But they're going to be a solid team. I will put them at solid. I will not put them at great. I will not put them at quite disappointing. I'll put them at solid. That's their ranking for me. Now, another game we have coming in is LSU at Miss State. LSU's favored by a good margin here.
I'm taking them to cover.
I believe it's 16.5 last I checked. I'm going to take them to cover, but not by much. I don't think they're going to run away with anything. Miles Brennan's going to have a couple like really impressive-looking touchdowns. 16.5 is the spread. They're going to have a couple impressive-looking touchdowns, but I mean, this is a Miss State team that now has Mike Leach, and so not only is air raid going to be a little bit more of a factor if possible, but he also knows how to defend against it, and that's what LSU is. Because Miss State, all they've been practicing the past 3 or 4 months, however long they've been practicing or whatever, probably 2 or 3 months actually, they've been practicing against themselves, which is going to be a lot of air raid, a lot of long ball through the air, and that's probably what they're going to see in Miles Brennan this week. So I think Mike Leach has a pretty decent debut. Not that they're going to win, not that they're going to be close to winning, but they're going to stop Miles Brennan a couple times, more so than people think.
It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that.
They come here this year.
So
yeah, I like the new coaches in the SEC. I know we talked about this last season a little bit, but you know, you got Kiffin back, you got Mike Leach in here, you got Sam Pittman just went to Arkansas. Somebody I know wrote an article about that the other day, for Dog Post. I believe his name was Ryan.
Oh yeah, shameless plug. I've started an internship at Dog Post for all UGA sports news and commentary. You can check that out. All
right, your commercial time is up.
Yep. Okay. Florida
plays at Ole Miss.
Give me Florida to cover that spread. I mean, I know I've been hating on them.
It's gone down a little bit, at least, because I'm seeing yesterday.
You saw the pictures of Lane Kiffin, man. You saw that.
What?
You see the picture of Lane Kiffin?
No, I don't believe I did.
You didn't see that?
No, what was it?
Lane Kiffin's put on some weight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because we're just basing it off that, too.
No, I was just saying.
Okay.
Maybe that means he's focused. Maybe he's focused on making this team better. It'll be interesting.
No coach out of shape.
Trask is experienced now. They have Kyle Pitts. The defense is going to be pretty good. Florida's going to cover. Ole Miss isn't going to be that good this year.
Florida will cover.
Not much to say about that.
Probably by 3 touchdowns, if I'm being honest. I think the 14 or 14.5 spread is a little bit lower than I would have expected. I think it's going to be more of a runaway game than the LSU-Miss State. And then we've got the 2 good SEC games of the week.
Oh, no, dude. Because guess what? I don't think Tennessee-South Carolina is going to be close. Here's my prediction. South Carolina is not going to win more than 2 games this year. They will be a 2-8 team.
Okay, well, you just looked at their schedule.
I did, but I've been thinking this.
Let me look at this because I'm going to have to argue. They're
going to lose. The only games that they will possibly win.
They will beat Vanderbilt, they will beat Ole Miss, and they will beat either Mizzou or Kentucky, not both. They'll win 3 games.
They are going to lose to Ole Miss. I'm going to just call it right now. They're going to beat Missouri and Vanderbilt.
They really are going to be bad this year. How bad were they last year? They beat Georgia, but they had, what, 5 or 6
wins?
And
if they don't win more than 2 games, Muschamp is out.
He needs to be.
Muschamp will be out. Tennessee is covering that by a long shot. Jared Garantano is one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the SEC. Expect him to have a solid season if he keeps his job.
Slightly below solid, but yes.
Solid average. He's going to be a manageable quarterback that can win you 5 or 6 games this year at least. Kentucky-Auburn, I think it's close. Give me Auburn by 4 to 6 points. I don't think Kentucky covers the spread. Or I think Kentucky covers. I don't think Auburn does.
I think Auburn covers by up to 2 touchdowns, but most likely less. Like I said, I like Bo Nix.
I think they start off slow.
That over under 49.5 is so high though. I don't see it being 49.5. I say under on that.
Oh, definitely.
I say it's going to be like a 20 to 14 game or somewhere around there.
Okay, yeah. All right. I can get down with that.
We'll sneeze there. Sorry, y'all.
This was just our quick opening episode. Unless you have any other final thoughts, we're gonna cut this one shorter. Or 40. Yeah, that's an optimal time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty successful episode. Obviously, we've got SEC debuting tomorrow, as we've already said. We got Big Ten and Pac-12 coming in the next few weeks. Until then, we'll update you on what we hear. Like we said, follow the Instagram at The Few Podcasts. Follow the Twitter as well. The Twitter, I believe, we are probably most active on at the moment. Instagram will become more active than we have been the last few months.
Twitter's going to be really active as games start, that we start watching, when we really start watching. So, yeah, follow us. Listen, share with a friend, share with your parents.
Give us some hot takes in the comments or the DMs. You know, tell us what we're wrong.
Yeah, we'll start our segments back up here soon. We'll get more interactive.
If you're a Carolina fan, you think they're going to win 5 games this year, yeah, I'd like to hear it. And your reasoning why, because
you're not.
I don't.
Because that's why, because you're not. They're not going to win more than 2 or 3. So, with that being said, The Few is back. We are back. Football is back. And we are out.